Blog Talk Radio.
Are bombarded by beckoning voices and our world is polluted with sound. Lord, let us hear you. In a land dissected and muddled by mazes of roads and never-ending highways, Lord, help us find your way. In a world of easy promises, empty guarantees, and quitclaim insurance policies, give us the security of your hand, Lord Jesus. At a time when we are confused by conflicting authorities that would tell us how to manage our marriages, our finances, and our children, oh Lord Jesus, show us your way. As we walk the tight ropes of parenthood in these explosive days, training our little ones to live in a world for which there are no precedents, Lord, we just need you. In all things, gentle shepherd, help us find the way.
There's no few verses there. Matthew chapter 9. Okay, we're going to read just verses 35 to the end of that chapter. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, straying like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." When we think of the attributes of Jesus, you know, firstly we think of love, we think of mercy, we think of grace, and those are certainly important aspects. But I think there are also aspects that we more identify with, even like we sing that song, you know, about the love of God is greater far. I mean, to see, you couldn't even write everything according to that song, everything about the love of God, because the ocean will run out of ink first. And even if it didn't, where are you going to put all the books? There's no space. Isn't that what John also said in his gospel? We didn't write everything we could about Jesus, because if we did, there would probably be not room enough to keep all the books that should be written. And yet when you think about all the books that should be written, here we live in an age where we are trying very, very hard to forget that God exists, to forget that Jesus ever existed, and yet more stuff has been written about Jesus than any other person in the world. It's kind of hard to overlook that vast amount of literature. But we are better, aren't we, at noticing the outward rather than the inward. And so I just wanted to share today a little bit about compassion, because that's the foundation of the love and of the mercy and of the grace and of all those attributes that Jesus displays toward us, and that is his compassion. And if anything, we have to say that Jesus is outstandingly compassionate. So what is compassion? I notice the more modern dictionaries say it's pity. But we use that word pity a lot, and it doesn't really go anywhere. But compassion, from Webster's 1828 dictionary, defines compassion: a suffering with another, painful sympathy, commiseration, being filled with distress for another. And compassionate is defined as a disposition to show love and mercy, to be tender and easily moved by the sufferings and distresses of others, a hurt in the gut. And as you remember, especially in King James, it talks about having bowels of mercy, because it comes, you know, it's not just a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's from the gut. It has depth from within. And there never was a more compassionate person, or I want to say there was never a more compassionate heart than God's. And Jesus is the one who manifested that compassion in so many ways. And when you read the Gospels, and when it talks about Jesus having compassion, that which hurt him the most was the scattering and the desperation of his sheep. Now Matthew takes Jesus here and describes him, and he does what I think you have to do with the entire Bible, and that is, Jesus is best described with verbs. So here's what he says. Jesus was going about and teaching and preaching and healing and seeing and having compassion. So let's look at those few verbs for a moment. Jesus went about. This word, periago, means to walk around observantly. To walk about observantly is not just sort of being aimless, meandering, but an observant walking around. Jesus wasn't static. But when you think about Jesus walking around observantly, the Bible also tells us that Satan walks around observantly, seeking whom he might devour. So we might say there are two who are out walking around observing. Jesus observing how he might manifest his goodness, his love, his compassion for us. Satan, how he might devour us and destroy. And I think it would be fair to say that if we are not walking around with and in Jesus, then we are fair game for Satan. Jesus walked around, coming to those who needed him. He didn't have office hours when people could search him out. But whenever Jesus came to a place, wherever that place was, Samaria, Capernaum, name all the places to which Jesus came, it says when word got out that he was coming, not even there yet, it says people came from all quarters to him. He was available.